Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Geek Lounge. I'm your host, Louis Latour.
And I'm Adam Smasher.
Don't forget that you can find us on Facebook at the Geek Lounge and on Twitter at Geek_Lounge.
Right.
Where I try my best to post things.
Yep. Do you?
Well, you know, then I sleep or watch TV, and then it's like, Twitter.
Yeah.
Thanks again for coming in for another week, you guys. Really excited because there's going to be a big old argument.
What?
There's going to be a big old showdown.
What?
That's be later on with our special mystery guest.
Ah, yeah. There you go.
Sitting with us in studio right now.
Yep.
Anyway, let's get down to the nitty and gritty. What did you do this week?
I watched The Force Awakens again.
Oh, that's right. Well, I should tell everybody that the debate is about...
We decided to revisit after our Rogue One talk, right?
Yeah, it's about Star Wars.
Yep.
Because we can't not keep coming back to it, apparently.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it makes us so angry and so happy and it's so weird.
Yeah, it is all true.
Yeah, so we'll see how this debate goes.
Yeah. I watched it this morning.
Did you?
The Force Awakens?
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
It was serendipitous. It was on right when I woke up.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was. What do you mean it was on? It was...
The cable.
Oh.
Stars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. How did you watch it? Because you refused to spend money on it.
Yeah, I borrowed it from Frank.
Oh, okay. All right. So Frank spent money on it.
Excuse me.
Okay.
Yeah, Frank spent money on it.
Okay.
And then I borrowed it from
him. Just to get real quick into your head right now, how did it go watching it?
You know, I was able to view it more objectively, which was a good thing.
Yeah.
Because when I saw it the first and only time last year.
Blinded by rage?
I was blinded by rage, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, in those terms, that was a good thing.
Yeah.
And the rest, you'll have to wait till the next part of the show.
Okay.
But,
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And then I started watching Captain Scarlet again, because, you know.
Oh, yeah, you were
marionettes and ultra violence in miniature is just awesome to me. I don't know why. So.
You were talking about that yesterday at the game. Also, you were talking about buying those weirdo Thunderbird puppets.
Yeah, they're not actually puppets. They
or whatever, marionettes.
Apparently, I wish I had more information. I didn't know you were gonna hit me with that. They're on pre-order, I think.
I was just gonna say they're creepy as hell. Because I had seen pictures of them and they look weird.
They have the Thunderbirds from the old Thunderbirds Super Marionation show, and then only Captain Scarlet was the only one I saw from Spectrum. They are, I think they're a foot tall, and they look exactly like the show.
That is unsettling.
Which is amazing, but unsettling to you.
It is very unsettling to me.
All puppets are unsettling. All puppets are
I would get every single Thunderbird, though, and probably Papa Tracy as well. Ugh. And Tintin and Brains.
Brains is the worst.
And probably the Hood.
Here's why Brains is the worst. Because they tried
Mr. Tracy.
They tried to introduce Thunderbirds when I was... A kid, like somewhere in the 90s, they tried to bring him back.
Yeah, they mixed them with like modern kids or something, right?
I don't know. I don't even remember. But I remember they were like, oh, those things are scary looking, but like not being scared of them. And then Brains showed up, and I was like, no, no, this is too much for me. He freaks me out the worst.
Yeah. Brains?
He's the creepiest. Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
I can't imagine. Waking up in the middle of the night and having like a puppet like sitting up on a shelf in your room just looking down at you.
As long as it's not moving, I'm okay with it.
it was Poltergeist.
But that show, yeah. That show.
Hey, Adam, not having a good sleep?
That show.
What's wrong, pal?
Thunderbird 4 can help you with that. No, no, you can't. No. That show is just so amazing, though. I mean, just.
Don't worry, I brought
so
a kitchen
different.
Knife, put you right to sleep.
They were rescue people. There was no violence, guns. Well, there were guns in it, but it's usually bad guys. Just an amazing, different show, especially in the 60s.
Right. I would say it was a bad show. It just creeped me out a little bit. That's all. And Brains was the worst.
Puppets tend to look a little weird, but they're marionettes. What do you want? I mean, what can you do?
I know. I mean, the idea of the show is cool. And I remember I remember watching the show, and they would have like Thunderbird 2 and Thunderbird 1, and they would like, you know, just the way they looked, it was cool. It was like action figures moving by themselves. But... Then they would go to the puppets, and it would be like, I don't know, I don't like this. And then it would go to, like, Brains. If I remember correctly, Brains had a segment in between the episode when they brought it back.
That must have been something totally different.
And he looked so creepy.
Wow.
He really freaked me out as a kid. I stopped watching the show completely.
Yeah, that is one of the weird things about that show is sort of the absurdity of the puppets.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so hit and miss, but... You know, what are you going to do?
I'm sure I could watch it now and be okay. It's fine. It just, I don't know about having a foot tall marionette sitting on a shelf in my house or anything like that. You know, to each their own, I guess.
There you go. Yeah. What'd you do this week?
Didn't do much of anything. Yesterday I did go to the Galaxy game. After we played,
we got to
Champions.
Play.
We got to play Champions. Yeah,
last week, as you know, we were really jonesing.
Yeah, it's been a while. It was like what 2 weeks since we got to play.
Yeah,
yeah, and then after that, I went with my brother to go see the LA Galaxy game versus Earthquakes. No, not nice because they lost.
Oh, not nice.
No, not nice. So, the game was a little, I don't know, was slow. It, was boring.
It, was
I don't
it know, friendly like or
no? Well, it's San Jose versus Los Angeles.
Yeah,
so they have their own little rivalry. They call it the California Classico.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have a trophy and everything. California I took a picture Cup, with the yeah. trophy. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I don't know. It just didn't seem like, far be it from me, a non-athlete, to tell you or to tell athletes how they should play.
Yeah.
But the game, just from my perspective as a fan, was not all that exciting this year.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we got scored on like in the 87th minute.
So 1-0?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. So they do the presentation. This is what's funny is that they do the presentation of the trophy afterwards. Last year when I was there when the LA Galaxy won, everyone stood back to watch the presentation of the trophy.
Yeah.
Today, or yesterday I should say, when they were doing that, everyone just got up and left. There had to have been maybe a total of like 50 people who probably stayed.
Sacramento, yeah. No thanks.
Oh, San Jose.
Or San Jose, well, close enough. No thanks.
Yeah, we were all pretty upset about it. We were actually, at some point, we were just like, you know what, I just hope it comes down to PKs.
Yeah.
To penalty kicks, and it didn't.
That would at least give some excitement.
Yeah, so not that great this year.
Jeez.
Unfortunately. But yeah, wow. That was about it.
Other than that, a slow week?
Yeah. I kept watching old Royal Rumbles, that's all.
Trying to fill the void.
I'm trying to.
A horrible 2017 Royal Rumble.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to wash out the bad taste of 2017's Royal Rumble out of my mouth. So I watch old Royal Rumbles.
Did you watch the video that Erica posted with Stone Cold Steve Austin trying different drinks for the first time?
Yes. No, I didn't see her video, but I've seen that video before.
That's a great video.
Where he's trying like a bunch of like.
I don't know what
fancy
this is.
Fancy drinks.
Yeah. It tastes like candied ass. Like, I don't know what this is, but it tastes like candied ass.
Yeah.
I would not drink this.
There was one.
He's like, I'm going to get up out of here if you don't start serving some real drinks.
Yeah.
I mean it.
I think,
oh, you are? Oh, well, yes, bartender. I'll have another. That's pretty good.
I think there was like a few drinks. I was like, yeah, I'll drink that. I'll drink that.
I'd keep drinking that.
Which
yeah.
is like...
He'd finish them too.
It was some weird fancy drink. Like, I don't remember. It was like a martini or something. He was just like, yeah, I'll drink that.
Yeah. No, the Appletini he did finish, but he didn't say it. The one... Okay. What was the one? I don't remember now. It's some kind of popular drink that he's like, that's good. I'd drink that. I'd keep drinking that. Yeah, I think it was a Cosmopolitan maybe.
Oh, yeah. Something yeah. like that. Yeah, something very uncharacteristic of him. But yeah, that was about it.
Yeah.
That was all.
So kind of quiet week.
Yeah. I did buy a movie called The Wailing, which I haven't watched yet. I bought it yesterday.
Like
yeah, but it's like a but it's a Korean.
Wailers.
No, like
how it go?
You wail.
Okay. Anyway, Korean
I'm bad
horror.
At wailing. It's a Korean horror K-Hart? Movie that I apparently is really good, and I haven't watched it yet. I bought it Friday, and I haven't yet.
Yeah.
I haven't got a chance to watch it.
So it's not about wailing.
No, it is not about wailing. It's a Korean film, not a Japanese film.
Damn.
F you whale and F you dolphin.
To our one listener in Japan, we're so sorry.
It's a joke. I don't know how you say joke in Japanese, but it's a joke.
Yeah, that's right. I was in Best Buy yesterday and I picked up for $8 Jumper with Hayden Christensen.
Oh, I like Jumper.
I actually liked it
too. I actually thought it was a fun movie.
Even
I don't know if
people I know that read the book say it sucks, but I'm like, I kind of like the movie.
Well, that came out when they had Jumper, they had Next.
Next, I liked. Next was okay.
Nick
that
Cage.
Was the one with
Nick
Cage.
Was, yeah, it was decent.
Yeah,
better than people gave it credit for. I thought.
I haven't seen that.
That one. Was also Push, which I thought was really good, even though that movie's trashed. I'm like, got trashed.
The one with
it's like, the movie's cool.
Captain America in it, where he's got telekinesis.
Yes,
I love that
That's
movie.
Movie's
that
good,
movie's
yeah.
cool.
That had a good background world and everything.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
The surprise ending or the twist ending wasn't that.
Nah, it wasn't
surprising
that big
or twisted.
Yeah.
I was like,
wasn't that big
I wasn't like, ooh! I was just like, okay. But I mean, as a whole, it was a pretty good movie.
Yeah, it was cool.
They limited everything to like 8 powers. Like everyone's got 8 powers, and that's it. Like, okay, cool.
That's all
we're
right.
Not running around keeping track of. No, I like it. We're not running around keeping track of everybody's powers and stuff.
Yeah,
I like it. I like Jumper actually.
Yeah,
I don't even hate Hayden Christensen.
I don't either.
I
we
don't.
We had that conversation a couple weeks ago. Yeah, Mannequin Skywalker.
Unfair, yeah.
Why would you hate him?
Well,
there's no reason.
Well, people hate him because of
he was so terrible.
Yeah, but as Anakin Skywalker.
Like we were like to remind people at every chance, like, you got to remember Lucas made Natalie Portman seem like a terrible actor. Oh. What chance did poor Hayden Christensen have?
Yeah, exactly.
That is not his fault.
Exactly, well, yeah.
And the other things we've seen him in, he's actually good, so.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I just like Mannequin Skywalker. Mannequin Skywalker kind of makes me giggle. Like,
it's coarse. It gets everywhere.
That is the... That is the pinnacle of for him of like the terrible things he like. If you put together every movie, the worst thing he's ever done is that little speech.
Yeah, and you know he was doing
sad course that gets.
He was trying to give Lucas his best too, and it just didn't come across.
Trying to find my mother.
Trying to find my mother.
Unfortunately for Natalie Portman, it was when she was on when she showed up.
You're breaking my heart.
At Mustafar, yeah.
Anakin, you're breaking my heart.
Yes.
Okay. And then that whole final scene, everyone just looked terrible.
Yeah. Like, she's dying of a broken heart.
Thanks, robot.
And then she's going to take the time. I'm going to name these kids first, though. Luke, Leia. Like, what? Wait, what?
But people tell you not to name things or you grow attached to them. She should have just named them and been like, hey, I feel better. I have a reason to live.
Yeah.
Children,
yeah, you'd think.
Yeah.
Well, they do have hyperdrive and laser guns, but can't tell if you're having twins or not.
Yeah.
Yeah,
apparently. They also have doctor robots.
Well, then again, in all fairness, they did end up there. Those doctors may have not known she was having twins. That was basically Obi-Wan going to the emergency room saying, hey, this is something wrong here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, that one's kind of fair. Okay. But, yeah.
I'm just saying Dr. Robot's prognosis shouldn't have been broken heart. He should have given us like
No, he didn't. He said...
She's lost the will to live.
She's lost the will to live, I think, is the actual line, yeah. Which, yeah, well, they can still slap you on life support and keep you alive whether your will to live is there or
right?
not.
Right? I mean, you have Dr. Robots. So I'm just saying.
Yeah. No, she just really wanted out of that relationship.
The lengths that some women will go to not have a sit down and talk with a boyfriend is amazing.
She's actually still alive.
She
faked it dead.
She's in hiding.
She's Finn's. She's actually Ray's mom. Yeah. Yeah. She's actually Ray's mom. Figured it out.
Uh-oh.
She's Ray.
We're onto something. Oh my God.
She's
Obi-Wan hit her with him. He wasn't a hermit after all.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, we're onto something.
Yeah.
Fan
Ray's parents are
Obi-Wan
and Amidala.
Padme,
yeah.
Damn.
Mind blown.
You heard it here first, everybody.
That's right. So when we're right.
Yeah.
We're going to totally rub it in everybody's face.
Yeah, so in the third installment of this new trilogy, it's like, well, they were right. Yeah.
Second, it should be this one when we find out, right?
I don't know. I don't know.
They're going to, it'll be the third one.
It'll be a reveal near the end of the second one.
Well, she said that she's surprised people don't already know in an interview. She was like, I thought everybody knew already.
Really?
Yeah. She's like, I thought it was obvious.
Then it should be obvious, right?
Nah, she could be screaming with us.
All right,
Obi-Wan and Padme.
Okay, no.
Her and Josh Gad are always screaming with us.
I've seen those videos. Yeah. What if she's she does it and just like, it's Chewbacca. It turns out to be Chewbacca. She like lifts up like one of her leggings and she's like, all this hair. It's all the hair.
Is that why she wears the arm sleeve the whole time?
Yeah, exactly.
No matter what she does.
To hide the patches of hair.
Yeah, and Chewbacca. Yeah. They can all celebrate Life Day together with... this weird wife and kid.
Itchy and scratchy and lumpy.
Is that what they're named? Oh, my God.
So. Yeah. It's bad, yeah.
I'm starting to petition to make that canon.
That's so bad.
That and when they were on Muppets.
Anyway, you ready for break?
Yeah, let's take a break. And I'm going to leave, and then somebody else is going to moderate your guys'.
You didn't tell me that. That's a surprise.
Oh, no, I hired a guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
He costs a lot of money. This guy's very fancy.
Well, you hired him, right?
I hired him.
Okay, whew, thank God.
I mean, it came out of the show's budget.
Oh,
but
man.
I hired him. No, dude, totally worth it.
We really got to get on Patreon.
Yeah, we do.
Jim Page gave us a great idea. We really need to get a Patreon for this show.
We do. All right, so we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have our great Star Wars debate. So stay tuned for that.
All right. It's a little scary when you see the sign. You picture it hairy and whitening inside your mind.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to what will no doubt be the first in a series of debates about things that only matter to nerds.
I'm your host, Blake Cavendish, the star of such popular shows as Hold On, Hold On, Okay, Tell Me, and The Breakfast Podcast, where I just sit and eat breakfast foods, then read the paper in front of a microphone for 45 minutes.
Wow. I remember that one.
The epic space opera Star Wars has cemented its legacy into the cultural lexicon of even our modern society. But since the film's inception in 1977, it has sparked many a war between its fans, more brutal than any battle between the Rebel Alliance and the Empire ever could. Wars fought in chat rooms, message boards, basements, and Denny's at 2 a.m. while the waitress is waiting for you to order actual food rather than nurse the same cup of coffee, talk loudly and angrily about a movie with your dumb friends. More recently, a new battle is being fought,
right,
and a country remains divided on the most pressing issue to date, The Force Awakens. Is it a bad movie? Is it a good movie? Or just a movie? We hope to find that out today. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Great Star Wars Debate 2017. Now allow me to introduce the debaters. First, representing the pro-Force Awakens side of the argument, is Emmy Award watcher and multiple Best Dad Mug recipient, Mr. Jason Browers.
Greetings, everybody. Nice to be here. Thank you.
And representing the anti-Force Awakens side is co-host of the Geek Lounge, whatever that is, writer and composer of, a werewolf musical, and all-around uber nerd, Mr. Adam Smasher.
Hi. I wish I would have wrote that musical. That sounds amazing.
Wonderful. So without further ado, both parties have prepared opening statements. Why don't we start with you, Jason?
Thank you for having me on. I'm here to present an excellent case to why The Force Awakens is not only a good movie, but more than just a carbon copy of A New Hope, Star Wars. Do or do not. There is no try.
Very good. Thank you very much, Mr. Press. Mr. Smasher, your opening statement?
That movie blew.
Fantastic.
My opening statement essentially is to prove that Force Awakens does not deserve its place in the actual numbered films.
Ooh.
And the primary reason is it is what Into Darkness was to the Star Wars. I mean, to the Star Trek films. Oh. It is just so misplaced. It was trying to do something. And arguably it did certain things. But as far as a good Star Wars movie, as far as belonging to the numbered series, as far as being number seven, no, I don't think so. I think whoever owns it next should retcon it. I mean, Lucas did it.
Very good, gentlemen. Are we ready to get started?
Brutal.
Oh, yes.
All right. So I'm going to ask the first question, and Jason, you'll answer first.
Okay.
And then Adam will present his answer.
All right.
Here we go. Question one. Many have said that Star Wars, The Force Awakens, is similar in so many ways to Star Wars, A New Hope, with some even saying that it's pretty much a carbon copy. Well, would you say that this helps or hurts the film, and how does it help or hurt the film?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a carbon copy, mm-hmm. per se. There are certain beats and elements that, yeah, are very similar. Multiple films have had very similar episodes, if you would. For instance, the James Bond series, every movie is exactly the same thing. But
it's like 20, it's like an AC/DC album.
Yes. 27 years later, here we are, keep going with the same movies over and over again, and we still pay $10 every time to go watch them.
Mental note, I haven't seen a James Bond film since the 80s.
Ooh, You're missing out. Same thing with almost any franchise, the Fast franchise. Anything, would you get to a certain one, there's a certain theme you go for.
Yeah.
Carbon copy, none of except for the characters that were reoccurring, mm-hmm. Han Solo, Leia, that kind of thing. None of the ones like Rey isn't Luke, Poe, Finn. I don't remember seeing them in Star Wars, A New Hope. They weren't there, especially, you know, Finn. Carbon copy is a little harsh. Mm-hmm. And another reason is I think we need to see 8 and 9 before mm-hmm. we can really say what was the point of 7.
So you would argue that it's not even a carbon copy whatsoever?
No, there's the Death Star. There's Darkiller Base. There are a lot of things that are the same. A desert planet. But there's some things that are very similar mm-hmm. and some things that are like, okay, if I'd watched this for the first time, I wouldn't call it a bad movie, no.
Very good. Mr. Smasher?
Carbon copy, I actually agree with you. It is not a carbon copy, but it commits a sin that I think is much worse. It is just bigger and louder, and that to me is absolutely frustrating. As far as certain characters not being there, you know, stuck on a desert planet, orphaned, mentor character killed off, who happens to be a very popular and well-known actor right out of Star Wars, does it hurt or hinder it? I think it's actually both. It helps because it's, again, it's that It's sort of like the Wrath of Khan with Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
The Wrath of Khan, while many things, was not a science fiction film. It was an action film. But it also didn't reinvigorate franchise. So by that argument, was Force Awakens successful? Well, financially, obviously. It remains to be seen. Well, no, I think it's safe to say at this point, now that we're a year gone, that it did reinvigorate the franchise. So those things are good. Where it hurts it again is, and going back to that bigger, louder, everything else, you know, instead of just an orphan on a planet, she's literally on her own. Now, instead of Alec Guinness, who to young people was unknown, he was very well known to older people getting killed off. Harrison Ford was incredibly well known. Instead of a Death Star, you now have something 100 times its size that apparently can shoot across solar systems, which made absolutely no sense. You have Starkiller Base. You have reasons. Too many questions, not enough answers. But in fairness, like you said, that's not to say that they won't be addressed in further movies. I think that the thing that, and I know why it was popular, but the thing that got me was just that idea that I'm just being thrown, the stuff is just thrown at me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like it. It's just, I don't want to get too far into my answer because I know later questions, because you gave us a copy of the questions. I know it pertains to questions later on.
You got copies of the questions? But,
no, I don't know what you're talking about.
We on this committee are not biased. Show's over. Goodbye.
Yeah. It just sort of bothered me on a lot of levels. Mm. I mean, I had trouble just sitting and enjoying it. While I can say there are things that I enjoyed about it more, I can still say that the movie as a whole annoyed me and it didn't hold up to scrutiny at all.
Very good. Mr. Browers, do you have a rebuttal?
We get rebuttals?
Yeah, that's, of course. You said but.
I said rebut.
No, I think we can move on. I think we both stated
all right.
Fairly. And
all right. This next question will be given to Adam and then to Jason.
Oh.
Similarities aside, there are also those who believe that the film's plot relied heavily on conveniences to keep the story going. What are your thoughts on this? Very good. Mr. Browers?
Hey, that wasn't my answer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I had no rebuttal to that.
Yeah, because I think the conceit of it was, and this goes back to the first question, it assumed that you were familiar enough with Star Wars, A New Hope, which mm-hmm. I tend to only know as Star Wars, that you wouldn't ask a lot of questions for that. Now, the interesting thing about that is, and the director for the seventh film, eighth film, Last Jedi, which I now understand has been named The Last Jedi.
Yes.
The interesting thing about that writer-director is he writes incredibly complex yet coherent plots. So how does it all fit in? I don't know. Did JJ just throw a bunch of stuff at us, hoping that nobody would notice, only to be answered by the next guy? I don't know. It's hard to say. But to me, the conceit was you did have to sort of know an awful lot about the Star Wars universe beforehand. I didn't like that, and that's why I don't think it stands alone as its own movie or a good movie by its own right. Like, this movie cannot exist without any of the other media. Well, that's what bothers me about it. It's just, there's so much going on. I mean, there's just too much stuff that appears out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Like Ren, Kylo Ren, who, for the record, I actually do like that character quite a bit, is supposedly founded the Knights of Ren. He's been trained by Luke, but yet his training's not complete and he can't even hold his own against a freaking former stormtrooper. I mean, he ends up winning, but he does struggle against the guy at first. I mean, stuff like that really bothered me. It seemed way too convenient just for the sake of, you know, excitement or adventure or whatever. There's too many things like that in the film, I guess. Just too many things just sort of happen, and you're just like, okay, why did that happen? And I felt like I was being expected to just, hey, you know, take it, because it's entertaining. Mm-hmm. Which I will say that is my criticism with everything I've ever watched that J.J. Abrams directed. There is too much of that. Mm-hmm. Like, you should just enjoy it. It's entertaining. Enjoy it. And I always feel that way when I watch him, and I'm like, I don't enjoy it, and it doesn't entertain me.
Mr. Browers?
As to Kylo Ren and Finn fighting, yeah, he just got shot with a bow blaster.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true.
The conveniences and the whole...
Which conveniently didn't blow him apart like it did everything else it hit, but go ahead.
You'll have your turn, Mr. Smasher, please.
Good point. It did graze him.
Yeah.
The conveniences, there were a few of them. Yeah. Like my biggest issue as a defender of the film, but still an issue, is the Millennium Falcon was found so quickly.
I didn't want to even get into that because I would have just went off on a rant.
We just got this thing and here, and then they found us 30 seconds later while he's moving Raftars, which I didn't like that part either. I thought that part of the movie shouldn't have been in there.
Definitely in agreement there.
So even though I'm a defender of the movie, no movie is perfect.
No, that's true.
Except for Braveheart.
Seven Samurai, maybe.
There you go.
Yeah.
But when you get to number seven in a franchise, there has to be a certain level of expectation that the people going to watching it know what's going on. There is a lot of stuff that I don't like that you have to do homework to go watch a movie. And there is some stuff that unless you read a book, you may not know about this or that other thing. I had a conversation yesterday with a friend of mine, and he brought up the point that we don't know who the Republic is. We don't know what the First Order is, and we don't know why there's a resistance.
Correct.
Okay. We know it as Star Wars people because there's always a
we choose.
There's a good and a bad.
We choose to look. Yeah.
You know, I made the thing. It's like, okay, so you got the Republicans, you got the Democrats, and then the Independents are the Resistance.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that a lot of things could have been fixed with a better opening crawl.
Yes.
Explaining who they were and what's going on and why there is a First Order. But besides the Millennium Falcon showing up, I think the coincidence will be explained in the next movie because Jakku is where Max von Sydow is hanging out. I think he was kind of like a Obi-Wan type character. I think he was there because Rey was there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they didn't really say that, but the next movie, they'll probably have a flashback or something and saying why he's there. But yeah, the coincidences are just the flowing of a movie. Every movie is like, oh, why did the hero meet this person? Why did this happen? And then he so happened to come be in the same city as a contact. Every movie has that. So I think a lot of people went into Star Wars, The Force Awakens, expecting certain things. And then when they weren't met, we threw our hands in the air and said, what's going on? Why isn't this better? Personally, I just wanted to be better than the prequels. As long as it's better than the prequels, I was happy. Besides the Millennium Falcon showing up, I don't know of any other coincidences that can be complained about.
Do you have a rebuttal?
I would argue that Force Awakens is not better than the prequels. That's my biggest problem with it. It is not even better than Episode 1.
Oh, Adam, you're breaking my heart.
Okay, pat me. Take it easy. But,
I think we've already answered one of the questions on the list as well.
Yeah, what's funny is we seem to agree on certain things about whether the movie overall is entertaining. A lot of the things you said I agree with.
But that's the thing. When I left that movie, I was entertained.
And I was pissed off.
I had fun. And that's how I personally rank all movies.
Yeah.
Did I have fun or was I pissed off?
I would say, and this really doesn't support my argument, but I will say that the film was certainly under a hell of a lot of pressure.
Oh, yeah.
There's just no other way to look at that.
I think the film also struggled from today's way that they make movies in Hollywood.
Yeah,
everything has to be planned out with 10 years down the line.
True. Yeah.
How are we going to do this?
How are we going to do that? The effects work, too. I mean,
well, I'm just talking like when they made John Wick. Okay. They didn't make John Wick for a sequel. They made John Wick to make a movie.
Correct.
That's why it was so much fun.
Yes.
You know, if they'd made it to make John Wick 2 and 3, it would have made a completely different movie.
At least some pretty big parts of it would be different.
Exactly.
No, that's true.
So they got lucky. It became very successful.
Yeah.
But they made that movie. That's what I'm saying. When 9 rolls around and we finally watch that movie and we can look back and say, oh, yeah, they dropped the ball in Force Awakens, my opinion can change. My opinion from episode 1 has changed over the last 18 years.
Let's move on. We did touch on some of the characters from The Force Awakens. There are those who would describe the characters as one-dimensional or uninteresting, while other people on the other side of the spectrum would call them a breath of fresh air to the franchise. Which side of the argument are you on and why?
They are definitely different. Breath of fresh air, I wouldn't say that. I did like a lot of them. Some of them are still a mystery. Like, we still don't know what the Knights of Ren are, which is kind of interesting. Yeah. We that's something that I hope in the flashback where we see him with this whole posse just hanging out on the planet, and they all have different weapons. That's interesting. I want to know more about that. That's going to be interesting if they can kind of go into that. So Kylo, interesting character. You don't normally, in a lot of science fiction movies, get a character that, you know, fanboying over, you know, his dead grandpa, you know, and wants to, you know... It's like, normally, it's like, oh, I want to be like the hero that saved the universe, not the guy that tried to conquer it. So that's kind of interesting. Poe, from my understanding, wasn't even supposed to be in the movie past the opening scene. But Oscar Isaac killed it, and here he is. You know, they extended his part for that. So I think that there's a room for him to grow. And, I mean, Rey, if they explain her properly and give her some backstory going further, and we figure out why she can use the Force and control Daniel Craig and do all this other stuff, it'll be explained. Like I said, it's... Downfalls, it needs more movies to explain it. It's not all one, but it's episode 1 of this trilogy. The characters, I don't believe are one-dimensional, no. But like I don't like Maz Kanata. I thought she was
useless.
Pushed in there.
Yeah. Crowbarred in.
Yeah, exactly. Besides making sure they got the lightsaber, that's all she was there for. You know, she was just there for that reason.
Mr. Smasher.
I do agree with you on one big point. It could have had a lot better crawl. But anyway, characters. Yeah. The thing is, like Kylo Ren, as much as I actually did like him, I don't think he's an original character. I think he just is a much better telling or much better rehash of what Anakin should have been. He is the young Darth Vader that Obi-Wan's ominous, or I should say old Ben Kenobi's ominous warning hinted of. That's Kylo Ren, not who we got, if that makes sense. So I don't think he's an original character. I think he just might be a retcon in a way. Yeah, Finn both annoys me, but I did like him, especially on the second viewing. But again, a lot of that is very heavily relies on how that comes about and how we get why the stormtroopers are where they are, things like that. Poe, I actually liked quite a bit because I think Poe represents something that has been lacking in the prequel trilogies that I think Lucas tried to force, which didn't work, and that was that spirit of adventure, sort mm-hmm. of the swashbuckler.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get that in the prequels. Mm-hmm. Tried to make Obi-Wan that a little bit, but by the time they did, it really didn't work, because he literally did this weird turnaround between movies from the really kind of jerk dad to almost Han Solo with a lightsaber, and it was just like, wait, what happened? You know, it didn't work. Whereas I think Poe sort of fulfilled that a lot. He was awesome. Rey, other than just being cute as a button and a charismatic, was just a rehash to me. I mean, she's Luke, except she's girl Luke.
But are the characters uninteresting or one-dimensional, as people would say?
No. I mean, they're at the very least, they're hinted at being more than two-dimensional. You know, BB-8 was pretty one-dimensional. I think R2-D2 got more things to do in the old New Hope than poor BB-8 got to do. But yeah, that's about it. Snoke, I don't know why. That name bothers me. I mean, I don't care. You want to have an Emperor-like character, I get it. But Snoke? It's just, I don't...
It's not very ominous. I agree. It's not an ominous... It sounds like you make
bow this. Before Lord Snoke! Who? You know what I mean? Like,
like Wawis Wadja?
Yeah! Yeah. I do love Donald Gleason. So I mean, I'm okay with him. I don't have a problem with him. He was appropriately like pissy and whiny about the right things, but yet sort of a jerk and see, I told you so about other right things. So he was okay. I didn't have a problem with that.
He was a bad guy.
Oh, I know. No, yeah, yeah.
No, that's what bad
he was a suitable
do.
Bad yeah. guy. Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, we'll do one more question before we take a break.
Okay. This one's me, right?
Yes.
All right.
Now, what about the old characters? Yeah. Do you think their appearances in the film were correctly handled for the sake of the story?
Leia, absolutely. Loved her. Sad to see that Carrie Fisher is gone. I would have loved to see her in episode 9, which I guess we're not going to get at this point. I thought she was great because she sort of fulfilled... But then again, I'm also saying this from the standpoint where I know why the Resistance exists and I know why the First Order exists. She's great in those regards. Han Solo was so poorly handled, in my opinion. We've said this before, so I'm only going to touch on it. Deadbeat dad all the way. That bothered me. Who else showed up? Chewbacca pisses me off. He needs to grow old. He needs to.
You want like
he looks
some
younger,
silvery tips
yeah,
up there?
He looks better than he's ever looked. That annoys me. I love Chewbacca, but I think what also ticked me off, now that I think about it, it's not so much that we got to see Chewbacca, but Chewbacca was relegated to even a less of a role than he ever had in any of the original trilogy. You know what I mean? Like, he really served no function other than to be Han's dog. And you could argue that he was always Han's pet dog / co-pilot. But I mean... You know, it's just, it bothered me. He really got nothing to do in the Force Awakens at all. And if rumors are true, he's going to be dead by the next film because he died in the expanded universe. R2-D2 and C-3PO. C-3PO was fine because he was just Leia's attendant. And I think that's probably, that served him far better than even his cameo in Rogue One, which was just horrible. You know, and him getting in front of Han and Leia during their reunion and just being himself works because that's who he is. He's that obnoxious butler that doesn't quite get that everybody, and he annoys everybody. So that was fine, you know. The R2-D2 thing was just dumb. Like, that was the stupidest thing. I don't know why, but that really bothered me. Here's a piece of technology, and basically, he's just been in low power mode since Luke's gone. Nobody knows what's going on. What the hell, man? It was ridiculous.
What about Luke Skywalker?
Well, Luke didn't have much part to comment on. Mm. Him running off, I didn't like. I didn't quite get that. Now, if he was serving a purpose by running off, okay, that I can get. Maybe, you know, if he ran off to sort of, you know, do certain things and find out more about what's going on and not realizing that this First Order had sort of came to power the way they did, because apparently it was fairly swiftly, Okay, that makes sense. Although I don't know how they had the resources to build Starkiller Base. But, you know, it's just not enough of him to really comment on that too much. Okay,
Mr. Browers?
Introducing the older characters was always going to be a challenge. You have five or six people, and then you have to also give just enough time to the brand new characters as well. Chewie hasn't done anything in any of the movies ever besides just hanging out and shooting his bowcaster.
Well, he's always been hinted at.
Yeah, but he didn't
even get that in this.
I love Chewbacca. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. You know, he's next to Barf. He's my favorite.
I'm a Mog.
He's my favorite sidekick ever. Leia, I wish she would have had more time.
Yeah, and got
a little bit more. I feel that she should have been all like, "Oh, hey, Rey, you're the second woman in the galaxy. Good to see you.
Are we related?
We have to be related.
It's the Lando Calrissian syndrome all over again.
Exactly. Han, I don't see Han being any other kind of dad, but deadbeat dad.
Everybody says that.
It's his character.
So annoys me though.
He ran from the first movie.
Yeah.
Second movie, he was basically just trying to be himself, and he doesn't want to be part of the Rebel Alliance. He just wants to be Han and run around. It's all he's ever known. I don't see him hanging out, you know, reading the paper and smoking a cigar on weekends at a barbecue. It's not Han. He has no other choice but to do that. That's why he would let his own kid be sent off to his, you know, Jedi Academy, and you know he's like, oh wait, somebody else to do it? I'm on board with that. I'm Han Solo.
Solo.
Mr. Smasher, a rebuttal?
Han Solo represents the archetype, the redeemed warrior.
Mm-hmm.
What bothered me is that it's not that he wasn't the same type of character, but grown, he was exactly the same, although in his 70s. That's what bothered me. He hadn't changed at all. While I agree that he would have no problem dumping Kylo Ren off to Jedi Academy, that absolutely makes sense. I also agree that it would have made more sense if he immediately took the first shuttle off of the Rebel base to say, I'm going to go find Kylo. We're going to search for him because I'm tired of sitting around smoking cigars on Sundays. You know what I mean? Like, to me, zero character development is what bothered me. I get the type of character he is, and I agree with you. Like I said, oh Luke, you're going to trade him? Yeah, take him. I get that. That makes sense. But to just totally say, sorry, Leia, I'm out. Our kid's a bad guy. I'm out. I'm just going to go freaking smuggle Reptars or whatever the hell they were. That was like, what the hell? Anyway, that's my rebuttal.
Well, I believe...
I disagree about Han.
Well, yeah.
That was lame.
They had to be in there just enough for us to care about him dying.
It's Han Solo. He could have literally shown up for 3 minutes. You still would have cared that they killed him off.
Well, yeah, this is true.
They could have unfrozen him from carbonite a second time, and we would have cared that he got killed off.
But to the point you made earlier, you know, there's a lot of people that don't have that connection to Han Solo, so they had to put him in a little bit more, so that when he died, it made a little more impact.
I would argue it was poorly executed.
And his death?
No, not his death. His death was fine.
Oh.
His introduction into the film was poorly executed.
Oh, yeah, no, we mentioned that earlier with him just showing up, you know,
and the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, that was, I'll admit, I guess I'm the first person, if I love a movie to point out something wrong with it. I get upset when my favorite pencil turns up missing, let alone the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah,
like I would have found that thing a lot faster for it to go through three or four different people before I found it.
Yeah,
you know. So
this is a lot of information for everyone listening to soak in. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have the final part of our debate. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the conclusion of the Great Star Wars Debate 2017. That was not me. That was one of the debaters. I am Blake Cavendish, and of course we are talking about The Force Awakens in accordance to A New Hope. Okay. And now I see why you do podcasts and not actual radio.
Probably very true, yes.
We'll continue with our questions. Next up is for Mr. Browers. How do you think the nostalgia factor was handled in this movie? Was there too much? Not enough? Was it just right?
Funny enough, we had this conversation yesterday. Talked with somebody that said that there was too much nostalgia in the movie.
How do
you have too much nostalgia? I don't know.
Especially in a Star Wars film.
Yeah.
That already takes place in that universe.
When most of it takes place on the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there are lightsabers and planets shooting lasers. I liked it. Even the small little ones. You know, I am a huge thing for cameos. I love it when I can be like, oh, look at that. Like when Finn is going through all the stuff and he finds a little training sphere, throws it aside. Or the way that they, all the nods they do, you know, new jacket or same jacket.
That was actually pretty
new
good.
Jacket.
Yeah, I did like that, yeah.
You changed your hair. Kind of that. I don't feel any of it was forced. I feel all the callbacks that they had were appropriate. Yeah, so it felt right, if that's a valid point, which I feel nostalgia is only supposed to make you feel.
Yeah.
Not nearly as forced as, let's say, Rogue One, where they had to put, you know, the butt face and the pig nose into it's like, oh, we're gonna run into you here of all places.
Yeah, that pissed me off.
It wasn't so much of that. Like they had a huge opportunity to throw a bunch of crap into Maz's lounge or cantina.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
Yeah.
They put a lot of new stuff in there. Just like the flags, like the Mandalorian flag that I think was taken out of in post or whatever. But just a lot of stuff like that. Like Anakin's flag from episode one. That was in the background. Stuff like that's perfect. I love it when they do that.
Mr. Smash.
I would say that it's a two-sided coin. On one side, I agree with you completely. A lot of the stuff that sort of fits in with the story, no matter how bad it is okay. Going through the junk on the Millennium Falcon and finding stuff, that's fine. You know, stuff like that works. The other side of that coin is, and I'm not going to go into it too much because we already answered that in depth with other questions, was that it hurt the overall story because there was just too much, like, okay, we have pretty much exactly Stormtroopers except designed by Apple. you know, we have Starkiller base instead of the Death Star, bigger, better, louder kind of deal. That was annoying. So it's a two-sided coin. One side, I actually agree with you. The other side goes back to the very first question.
Would you say that there's too much or not enough nostalgia?
Again, two sides of that argument. One, when you're talking about the purely nostalgical elements, nah, that doesn't bother me. Mm. Not in this film. It bothered me more in Rogue One, which I liked more as a film. It was the Force stuff that was part of the plot that I did not like. That was too much.
Stormtroopers, I like they had different stormtroopers. Like most military will have different,
true,
different uniforms for different things. Off point, Phasma.
I loved her.
You
she
loved
did
her?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
She was useless.
I was about to say, you loved her?
She's she's Boba Fett of that movie. Amazing looking, amazing concept. Everything about her speaks to somehow some depth that unfortunately is just not there at all.
Well, that, again, as a defender, I think I'm proving more Adam's point than my own. the guy that fought Finn
and Maz's
should have been Phasma. That should have been Phasma.
That would have explained at least special weaponry that no other Stormtrooper seemed to have.
Right, that would have been given her a really cool role.
Yeah.
It would have been amazing, and it would have given Finn a bad guy.
Yeah.
His own bad guy.
That's true. I like how you think.
Always willing to make movies better.
All right, Adam, this one's for you. Are you quite done?
I'm ready.
Keeping all the other movies in the franchise in mind, do you believe Disney's taking the series in the right direction?
I do not. A lot of this answer is actually came up three shows ago, so I'm going to try my best to rehash that, except make it very concise. Mm-hmm. My biggest problem is Force Awakens, again, bigger, louder, longer, whatever. That's, I feel, a huge mistake, although if you do that to reinvigorate the franchise, okay, I can argue that that'll work. How that relates to Rogue One is, in Rogue One, you get a truly unique picture that still takes place in the same universe, however, does take place around events we know of, but it tends to expand on those events, which is a good thing, and it has all completely new characters up until certain forced cameos that didn't work. Why I think that's the wrong direction is because when you see things like that, the idea, and Sig brought this up, is that there's so much of that universe that you can tell. Yet we're still going to keep telling stories about the same group of people, the same family, the same everything. And it's just, to me, that represents the insecurity of taking creative risks they're not going to take those risks unless they can wrap it around people that are well-known, and that bothers me. I don't think that is a good direction. I think at some point they're going to – and whether they want to lower the budget or whatever to do it, that's fine. But at some point, if they want to keep Star Wars healthy, they're going to have to start making some truly new and unique stories and characters that, you know, there's nothing new over the sun. No story, no character is truly unique, but it should feel fresh and unique. And I don't think Disney is really that apt to do that. Rogue One, I think, did that in some ways, but are they going to continue with that trend? Like I said, considering young Boba Fett and young Han Solo, who gives a crap? It doesn't seem like they are.
Mr. Browers?
As far as how they're taking the franchise, I think they're taking the exact same route they did with Marvel. They started off really safe to hit Iron Man, which is basically a 1-2-3 superhero movie, you know, origin, changing character type deal. True. Now we get Ant-Man and Doctor Strange. Nobody knows about these people, and they can take risks, and they still make money. And they're very successful.
True.
I feel they're going to go that route with the Star Wars movies as well. I concur. I don't want a Han Solo movie. I never wanted one.
Good. Yeah, up high.
Up high. There we go. Part of Han Solo's character is the mystery behind him.
I don't
want a Boba Fett movie. I don't want to know. I'm already mad that he's a clone, that we know that. I want to know. I don't want to know who's under the mask. I never did. If we were going to tell a story.
It's like giving Wolverine an origin. Why?
Thank you. Nobody wants to know.
Nobody wants to know.
It's mystery.
Or should know.
If you want to do an origin story or tell a story about the same characters we've already had, let's do it with a character that can hold his own movie. Or we want to, like, let's say an Obi-Wan movie.
Yeah.
If you want to have an Obi-Wan movie taking place between episode three and four,
yeah.
You can have it to where.
I would be down for that.
You can even keep it on Tatooine.
Yeah,
you know, he's been there for 5-6 years. He's built roots kind of there. Maybe like a town needs help, and he has to kind of like fight it off like
a much
samurai
smaller,
type thing.
More intimate film.
Exactly,
but it would be badass.
Yes, better than a Han Solo. I don't want to see the Kessel Run. Yeah. I don't want that. I don't want to see how he meets Lando. We know that they meet. That's more than enough.
As much as I love Donald Glover, I am totally in agreement. I don't want
to
see it.
But again, we need to see where the direction's going. Like I said earlier, if 8 and 9 make 7 a better movie, then we know they're going the right direction. The show Star Wars Rebels is a great example how you can tell the story of other people and every once in a while pepper in some Skywalker or stuff like that and to make the story go farther or connect it a little bit. But it's a huge universe. You are correct. You know, a lot of people are always like, oh, the people from Rogue One had to die because they weren't in A New Hope. Really?
Not necessarily. Really? Yeah, not necessarily.
People I went to high school with aren't in my life anymore, and they're not dead.
They're not dead, correct. Right? Well, most of them aren't anyway, presumably.
I'm guessing my entire class is not dead. I'm hoping, at least. But yeah, it's a big enough world to where, and the rebellion's a large thing with multiple parts that are moving constantly.
Exactly.
Same thing with the new resistance. There are a lot of places out there that things could happen. My biggest issue with Rogue One was I don't believe there was enough character development on Donnie Yen character and the other ones. We just know they're there, hanging out, watching the temple. That
we actually discussed that too. Donnie Yen didn't get enough.
No. They could have easily just started off the movie with, hey, Jin, we want you to go on this mission. Here's your team. And then taking the extra 15, 20 minutes that it took her to find the team and to develop their characters that way. You know, that way when they all die at the end, we feel more as opposed to just be like, oh, they die.
Well, see, even all dying at the end feels almost like a trick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they didn't have to.
Oh, you'll all
die.
You'll really feel for this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, except it feels a little ham-fisted.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think I still say one or two should have escaped to carry the mission forward, to carry the word forward. This happened.
Yeah.
You know, I was there. Yeah. I watched this person sacrifice
Should
himself.
Diego Luna have died? Yes.
Well, yeah, some people have to die.
He was written to die.
Some people have to die.
He
yeah.
was.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't be bad for the right reasons and not
yeah,
die.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
yeah
exactly.
Yeah.
But like the guy that was brainwashed, he sucked his brain out. I didn't care about that guy.
I actually like that guy.
did you care if he died, though?
No, not really.
Did you?
Yeah. Not
well, really. I'm more heartbroken when C-3PO dies than if, you know, him. You
I
know.
Wish you'd die.
With his new red arm.
Yeah, with his new red arm, exactly.
Do you have a rebuttal?
No, what's funny is we're kind of in agreement. No rebuttal.
All right. This is the last question of this debate. We're going to start with Jason. Jason, what would you say to those who would continue to analyze and negatively criticize this movie or any other movie?
It's always fair to have an opinion about a movie. That's what they're there for. Mm-hmm. They're not there
opinions
to...
Opinions or movies?
Both.
I'm just kidding.
Both. When you make a movie, Nobody ever makes a movie to be bad.
That's true.
You know,
but, well, maybe you bull, but
it's like everybody thinks they have an idea and they want it to be the best movie ever. They want to tell a story. So when a movie's made, it's supposed to be entertaining. And I think that's what The Force Awakens has done. If you were entertained by it, if you walked away saying, I liked watching that movie, it brought me joy, then there's no reason why you can't sit there and say, okay, there are good things about it. You know, during this whole thing, I've already said I liked the movie and I had issue with this, this, and this. Criticism make things better. If we don't say what's wrong with it, the next one can't be better. So yeah, you can criticize it. You can bring up your points. You can say this sucked. You can say that rocked. You can say this blows. But in the end, were you entertained? And that's what it boils down to. So what I say, can you continue to negatively critique it? Have at it. You know, without that, we wouldn't be here right now talking about it. We'd all be at home just staring at a wall. At least that's what I do with my Sundays.
Chewing on splinters. Chewing on drywall.
Okay. Mr. Smasher, your question's a little different. What would you say to those who tell you and people like you that you shouldn't overanalyze this movie or any other movies and that you should just enjoy them?
Okay, well, first part of that argument is twofold. And the first part of that fold is I honestly didn't spend a lot of time analyzing Force Awakens, and I only really showed my distaste for it when asked. The second part of this episode is I am an aspiring writer and storyteller. Not even aspiring. I've actually written a lot. It's just whether it's been popular or not yet is a matter of debate. So of course I'm going to analyze story. It's part of the profession I want to do for the rest of my life. I consider it my job and duty to analyze story. So absolutely I'm going to analyze the story, and you're not going to stop me, because how am I going to make my own stories better if I don't understand the mechanics of how they work?
What would you say to them when they just tell you that you should stop analyzing and just enjoy
it? I think that is emotionally. I think that is intellectually offensive. If you do not demand a certain level of whatever from your entertainment, that entertainment is going to get to the point where we're going to watch Ow My Balls on TV and ass the movie. That's why we should demand a certain level of what we expect out of our entertainment. Anyway, that's why I think that's intellectually offensive. You should demand a certain level of entertainment. And I think entertainment should stimulate you on multiple levels. Now, does entertainment have to stimulate you on all those levels at the same time? No. No, but it shouldn't be so stupid that it doesn't even make at least a certain amount of sense. So that's my statement there. So F y'all, demand better.
All right. Very good, gentlemen. What a debate. What a lot of information for people to soak in. I will now give you the chance to make your closing statement. Why don't you go first, Jason?
Okay. As far as this movie goes, yeah. I do agree there are things that could be improved upon. I do agree that we do, as a society, have too many popcorn flicks. We need them. We need to have a movie that makes absolutely no sense every once in a while, just kind of sit back and have visual eye candy for 90 minutes. Some of the funnest movies I've ever seen make absolutely no sense. You know,
Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space is one of them.
Amazing film.
That movie is... I will never admit that I'm scared of clowns, yeah. But I'm scared of clowns. To sum it up, yeah, Force Awakens had its issues.
Yeah,
it did a lot of great things as well. I think it's a really good starting point, and as you put it, it had a lot to do and a lot to accomplish.
Yeah,
and I think that they towed that line as best they could with what they had and what they could do. It wasn't just independent film that some guy got to tell. You know, it wasn't Memento.
or even the original Star Wars, for that matter.
That which basically was an independent film that nobody believed or knew anything about. Is there a certain point where you have to sit there and say, it's Star Wars? Yeah, they shot a laser across 40 galaxies.
That was so bad.
They saw it from a planet they shouldn't be able to see it from. But how does a lightsaber work? I don't care. It's a lightsaber. I don't care that it only extends to 3 feet long, you know, where it could technically just keep going forever and ever. It's Star Wars. You know, they have hyperdrive. Nobody, with a bad motivator, it just works. Some things just work in some instances. But I don't think it was so offensive to where they're like, oh, the audience is stupid, or we could just do this and shove it down their throats and they'll have to take it because it's Star Wars. I don't think they went that far. And as I said before, once we get to 8 and 9, that'll be really able to say if 7 was a good movie or a good start to this trilogy or not, or if Abrams sucks.
Mr. Smasher?
Well, now that we're stepping away from the debate a little bit, I will say that on my second viewing this week, I didn't dislike it as much. Watching objectively, I was able to enjoy parts of it more. Unfortunately, it does still remind me of sort of episode one, where there's some really great parts, but the whole sucks. I still got some big problems with the film. What does bother me about Starkiller Base and the idea of them shooting across systems or whatever, yet all the planets were close to each other, I think what bothers me is, to me, it reminded me, in Star Wars terms, it reminded me of sort of Qui-Gon Jinn's whole midichlorian thing. You're just doing something that is just so out of place. Even for a space opera, it became to the point where it's so distracting to me. Like, wait, what? I mean, the lightsaber you can accept. A lightsaber you can accept. A Death Star you can accept. Because there's certain rules that, no matter how fantastic they are, they still fit into how we know the world works.
I mean, like how four beams can meet one beam and shoot straight?
Yeah, that's fine. But the fact is, the Death Star flew around and would destroy planets.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There's at least a certain logic to them. Mm-hmm. But now you show a scene that shows this planet fire something off, and it hits four planets that are next to each other, but it just didn't make sense to me. And that's, to me, that's too distracting. I mean, like you said, even the Death Star scene, you can look at it and go, okay, it's destroying a planet. You know what I mean? But then you look at that scene, you're like, I'm lost. I don't even understand how that happened. And again, it's a fine line. You mm-hmm. said it. There is a fine line. I would look at it this way. To me, it's like watching Avatar, the James Cameron movie.
Okay, thank you.
It'd be the difference between, it would be the difference between that and, like, let's say Chocobos in Final Fantasy. Stay with me. I'm going to try to make it brief.
Okay.
Okay. Avatar, right? James Cameron's crappy-ass Avatar movie. Dances with Wolves in Space. You have islands that just sort of float, and there's waterfalls on them, and they make no sense. Not only that, they make no sense within the film itself, other than to make you go, wow. That's the only function they serve. Chocobos. They essentially replace horses. Okay, you have giant birds that you ride around, which in, I think, the first time they appeared, they were too small to actually ride. They were like ostrich size, even though they did get bigger as the series went on. But at least they serve a function to the story. They basically replace horses. They're sort of cute. They have a storytelling function. There aren't horses, or even if they're horses, they're an alternative to horses. They're part of the culture. They actually race them. They breed them. They raise them. There's an actual function that's there. So to me, that's the argument of Starkiller Base and the Death Star, or even a lightsaber. A lightsaber tells a storytelling function, is very tied into the mythos of the Jedi. It's like the sword of the samurai. It's part of their soul, blah, 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 blah. Starkiller Base just shoots for no reason and destroys planets so impossibly far away it didn't even make sense. I tell you, if freaking episode 9 has a Starkiller Base 2, I'm going to probably end up walking out of the theater. Just saying that outright. Like right now.
What if they have hairless Ewoks? Can we walk out together?
Yes, we can.
All right, gentlemen, that's about it for time. Yeah. Thank you so much for...
This is fun, actually.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you guys for letting me come on. I appreciate this. Yeah. I did not realize this would be as much fun as I had. Thank you.
So this next question is for the people who are listening. Tell us what you think on the Facebook Geek Lounge and on Twitter at Geek_Lounge. I also have to read some copies, so give me 1 second. Remember to buy t-shirts of show and non-show variety on tpublic.com.
Yeah.
That was all I was given to read. I think he misspelled tpublic.
Is that T with an I?
No, he spelled it with a K.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Tpublic.
Yeah, your friend's not very smart.
Okay. Thank you. Luis, this guy doesn't think you're too smart.
What?
All right, thank you so much for joining us, and this Geek Lounge or whatever, I suppose we'll see you next week.
All right. Good night.
LaTorre and Munch. The Geek Lounge is produced and hosted by Louise LaTorre and Adam Smasher and was recorded at Giga Hub Studios. You can find this show and many other shows at GigaHub.com and on Facebook under the Geek Lounge or on Twitter at Geek_Lounge. The show's theme is Shock Lunatique by the band Turquoise. You can find them at TurquoiseBand.com. TURKUAZ band.com for music, merchandise, tour dates, and much more.
Stormtroopers by Apple.